Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter, and reached the tomb first, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. The word of the Lord. The first question that came to mind when I was thinking about the feast of St. John the Evangelist was, why does the Church celebrate St. John the Evangelist just 2 days after Christmas? And why does today's liturgy make us read the Gospel by St. John that speaks of the empty tomb? On the 25th we celebrated Christmas. The day after we celebrated St. Stephen, the first martyr. Today we celebrate John, who is not considered a martyr, but suffered persecution and exile. Tomorrow we will celebrate the holy innocent babies killed by a direct order from Herod, who was afraid to lose his throne to a newborn baby. How can we connect the joy of the birth of baby Jesus and the cruelty shown to the adult Jesus and his followers? I remember a meditation by Venerable Faltin Sin, an American archbishop, who said that upon the manger in Bethlehem fell the shadow of the cross of Golgotha. We cannot really understand the mystery of the Incarnation without a direct reference to the mystery of our redemption. We could not have redemption without Incarnation. The mystery of our redemption does not end with the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, for our Lord lives on in his mystical body, so that when a person suffers, especially because of the faith, Jesus himself suffers. For Jesus did not abandon us, and he did not leave us orphans. He is always with us until the end of time. And he suffers when we suffer, and he rejoices when we rejoice. Thus, the light of the babe in the manger shines on Jesus nailed to the cross and on the resurrected Lord. Both the light of the manger and the shadow of the cross light our life during our journey to our Father's home, where a place is already prepared for each one of us. But why the Gospel reading about the empty tomb? I believe that St. John's feast is not really about John, but about the Christ. The first reading tells us of John's intent in writing his first letter. He wrote, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we looked upon and touched with our hands, concerns the word of life. And what we have seen and heard, we proclaim now to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." And he goes on to say, "We are writing this so that our joy may be complete." We might ask, what was from the beginning? John himself answers us in the prologue to his Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. What did John and the other disciples see and touch with their hands? In his prologue, John states, "The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." This is what John proclaims on his feast day. This feast is not about John, but about the Word who became flesh and lived and still lives among us. So it makes sense that 2 days after Christmas, we are reminded of the empty tomb to which, of the apostles, John was the first to arrive, and he saw and believed. It tells us that the Lord is still alive, and we have reliable witnesses of the resurrection. The joy of Christmas then comes to its completeness in the joy of Easter. John tells us, right at the beginning of his gospel, that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and one other of John the Baptist's disciples, whose name is not revealed, followed Jesus when John pointed to the Lamb of God. It is thought that this unnamed disciple was John the Evangelist, who out of humility never mentioned his name in the events in which he was involved. On this occasion, John was not yet the disciple whom Jesus loved, so he simply omitted any reference to himself. If this is correct, then John is present at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He was the only apostle present at the foot of the cross on which Jesus was executed. He was the one who was given as a son to Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was entrusted to John's care. Who can imagine the exchange they had concerning the person most beloved by both of them? It is only correct and interesting that, in the joyful atmosphere of Christmas, John the Evangelist is celebrated, for he gave us the message that the Word that in the beginning was with God, and the Word was God, became flesh and lived among us. We could well repeat a prayer inspired by St. Thomas Aquinas. "Lord, I am unable to understand your wounds, but I humbly confess that you are my Lord and my God. Help me to always believe in you, trust you, and love you. Amen."